As you can tell by those images on the screen, we'll be talking about time this morning. And what better time to talk about time is at the ending of another year in our life. And one thing I want us to think about as we talk about time this morning is I want you to look at these next few thoughts regarding time. Is that when you think about that, time is the most valuable non-renewable commodity we have. It's priceless. Time cannot be held, seen, touched, or breathed, yet it has been allotted to all of us. Time can be spent, but not saved. It can fly, as we hear that phrase sometimes, that just time flies. We cannot give our time to someone else to extend their life. And a lot of us know people that are suffering and dealing with things, but all the time that we have, we can't give to anyone else. And time doesn't care about our plans. Time doesn't care if our projects get done. But time is the great equalizer. And time waits for no one. Not you, not me. So as you go through this lesson, there's a lot of things that you're going to be able to look and think, well, I would have thought this, I would have said this, but there's so many things in the Bible that we could be using to think about time and our use of it. But how did you use your time in 2024? We're coming to the end of the year, like I said, and it's just like you look back and you go, what did I do and what didn't I do? Do you have any regrets on how you used or didn't use your time? Did you waste your time? Or did just time just slip away, just like sand out of an hourglass or sand flowing through your fingers? And how did you waste your time? Was it for a lack of focus? Was it for a lack of love for the Lord? What could you have done differently? And I think sometimes when we all look at our lives, there are so many things that we would say, if I just had more time, or if I did this or did that. But how could you have done things differently? We always have time for the things we put first. We all have time. We have our own priorities. And it's all about priorities and focus. A new year is 3 days away from us. 24 will be gone, never to be reclaimed again. So as you think back, are you satisfied with your spiritual life in 2024? And that's what I'd like us to really kind of think about as we go through this is, what about our spiritual life? Did you have trouble with anger, jealousy, hatred? Maybe it was selfishness or self-pity. What about gossip? Was that one of your challenges that you had in 2024, is not gossiping? Grumbling and complaining, we hear it all the time. What about bitterness? For the things that you have and don't have, you wish you had better things. What about quarreling with friends, family, neighbors, or just speaking evil about other people, speaking words that are not wholesome? People are starting to make New Year's resolutions for 2025 now, and I'm sure that you've probably thought about it if that's one of the things that you do. People start thinking, well, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to get more sleep, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And so they start making all of their plans for 2025. So what are your resolutions for 2025? And most importantly, will they include ones to improve your spiritual life? Yes, exercise is good, and eating healthy is good, and do all these other things good. But what is the most important aspect of our lives? And what would be the spiritual resolutions that we need to make to improve our spiritual life? found this survey that was taken, and they say that 23%, now 23% quit in the first week. They don't even make it 7 days, they quit. And it says only 36% make it past the first month. And then when it's all said and done, only 9% successfully keep their New Year's resolution. So for those who made it, it's 100%, but it drops all the way down to 9% for those who keep their New Year's resolutions. So if you do make your New Year's resolutions, establish your priorities. Write them down. What are my priorities before setting your 2025 spiritual goals? What are your priorities, and then build your goals after that? The number one goal that should be for all of us should be what Mark wrote from Jesus, what Jesus said, is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That ought to be our number one goal, is to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's with our every bit of our being is how we are to love the Lord. And the number two goal is, we should all remember this because Jesus quoted it right after he said that, is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So first the reflection is that we love God. And then Jesus says, the second is like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. I think sometimes that we do a good job of loving ourselves, but maybe it's a lot of work that we need to do to love our neighbor. Focus on what God requires. Look at what his word requires of us. In Micah, as we studied on Wednesday night, we went through this, and one of the things that Micah said in his writings was, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. He's shown you what is good, but what does he require of you? But he says, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I want you to look at it and just think about it. When he says to do justly, where is that focus at? It's focused on your neighbor. It's focused on your brother and sister in Christ. Do justly. Do what is right. And to love mercy. God's shown us what mercy is. We need to love mercy and be able to show that to our fellow man. And then to walk humbly with our God. That's part of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, is to walk humbly with him. Put him first. And be more attentive to worship service and Bible studies. We need to think about that. And what's the purpose of it? Why did God do these things? Does he need it because he needs it from us? No, it's for our benefit. Hebrews 10th chapter and verse 24, he says, and let us consider one another in order to store up love and good works. It's for our benefit. He says, consider one another. And that's you and me to consider each other. And why? It's to stir up love and good works. And he goes on to say, is that not forsaken? How am I going to do that? The writer says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. That's how we do it. Is that we get together and we encourage one another. And then he goes on to say, as is the manner of some, by exhorting one another, lifting one another up, so much more as you see the day approaching. And so when we look at it, we think about 2024 is almost past, 2025 is on its way. But why do we come together? It's for our benefit. And when I was working, I didn't hang around with the people that I worked with. But when I came here and I hung around with you and others who have gone on before, that was where you get your strength to help you through the next week. And it should be important to you, and it should be important to me. So let us practice and be attentive not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And in the upcoming years, just watch how you walk and redeem your time wisely. As we mentioned before, time leaves, we can't get it back. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, walk in wisdom. James Murray says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll provide it for us. So Paul says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Let them see the wisdom of God in you as you live your life, and if you walk his walk. And redeeming the time. Time that's going to leave is not coming back. So let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. And so we need to look at those things. Is let our speech, let people outside of the church see it, that they might want to follow after Christ. And stay focused. I have a hard time focusing. Maria reminds me all the time, stay focused. And some of you may have the same thing. James Moody always says, I keep seeing this little silver thing, the little shiny thing. You get distracted. And there's so many times that I will be working on something and all of a sudden I get distracted. I lose my focus because I let something else take over. So stay focused. Keep your salvation gets closer with each passing day, and we need to remember that. Paul, writing to the Romans, he says, and do this, knowing the time. And Paul, when you look at the Word of God, there's a lot that is said about time. We started out this morning, Brent read from Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verses 1-8. Talks about the seasons. There's always a season. And what's interesting about that writing is that he covers everything from one end of the spectrum to another. And when you look at all those things that are written and spoken of in verses 8 through 2nd verse through down through verse 8, is that they cover almost every aspect of your life. And so with every aspect of our lives, we have things that are from one end of the spectrum to another. And so we need to remember these things. So that he says that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Each waking hour, our salvation is nearer. Stay focused, for your life is but a vapor. James said, for what is your life? And that's what we're trying to talk about this morning, is what is our life? It's consisting of time that we live. But James reminds us, it's even as a vapor that appears for a little while or for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It vanishes away, never to return. But remember what your life is and how fast it moves. And he says, instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. So when we look at what he's saying is that if the Lord wills, sometimes we put ourselves and our will ahead of the Lord's. It's our time. We'll do what we want. And tomorrow I'll do this, and next week I'll do this, and next year I'll do this. And we make plans. But James reminds them, he says, and said, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, if it's in his will, we will do this or that. And live righteously. That ought to be a part of our goal for next year, is making sure that we live righteously. God says to be holy, for I am holy. And in order to do that, we need to live our lives righteously. And remember, every secret thing will be judged. Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes at the end of this book, he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work, everything that you and I do, God will bring it into judgment, including every secret thing. whether good or evil. The things that are good that nobody else knows about, God knows. And what about those evil things? What about our thoughts and the hatred that we might have towards someone else? The things that we think in our head that you don't know about me or I don't know about you, but God certainly does. And he says that he will bring all these things into judgment, every secret thing. And live right every day. Live right because your conduct matters. My conduct matters as I walk upon this earth, how I live my life. Peter writing in his letter, he says, for the time has come. For the time has come for you and for me. But the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. It starts with us, those who were obedient to his will. He says that's where it all starts. It starts with us first. And if it begins with us first, what would be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Bill reminded us at the Lord's Supper talking about what the Lord did for us, what God did for us through his Son. And we need to remember that. And we need to be thankful for that every single day of our lives. We need to be a blessing to others. And it's interesting when you think about that, is that Paul writing to Romans, he says, bless those who persecute you. If you want to make a resolution, this is one that's tough. Because it's not within our being to bless those who persecute us. It's a challenge for us. But think about what the Lord did for us. What Christ did for us. He died, and for all those who persecuted him. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And learn what to hold on to and to what to let go of. Sometimes there are things in this life that we hold on to that maybe we shouldn't. I think about every time I see a new building going up, I'm like, what is that? Is that going to be a gas station? Is that going to be apartments? Is it going to be a house or whatever? And you wait a few weeks, and next thing you know, what happens? The sign pops up. And it always surprises me in one way. Storage units. And it makes me think about it. It's just that we as Americans love stuff. And it's just that we want to hold on to things. And we put them in these storage units. And believe me, I've been guilty of it when we moved here from Florida. We didn't have enough stuff in our room in our house, so we put it in a storage unit. And guess how many times we touched that storage unit in a year, year and a half? Zero. Until we decided that, hey, we're paying for money for something that we don't use. And so we went, cleared that storage unit out, and got rid of our stuff. So we need to learn to what to hold on to and what to let go of. There are things in our lives that we need to let go of. Paul writing to the Romans, he says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And so when we look at it, is that our love, we need to hold on to that. That's what's important. Abhor what is evil. Get rid of that. Because it's not going to benefit you or me. It's not going to benefit those who we live with or around us or who work with us, our fellow students. We need to abhor what is evil, get that out of our lives, and cling, hold on to, and cling to what is good. And let empathy take over. If there's one thing that sometimes we find by being around other people is that they're not very empathetic. They don't care. They can't put other. They focus on themselves and not on others. But God's word tells us to do something totally different. Paul writing to the Romans, he said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And sometimes we find it may be difficult for us to rejoice with those who rejoice. Something good happens to somebody else. Maybe it's a promotion. Maybe it's something that's happened, a new child. It may be a new car. It may be just things that happen in their life. Maybe they have cancer and it's in remission. And sometimes we're happy, but do we really rejoice for them, or we just say, oh, that was nice? Paul says, look, rejoice with those who rejoice. Be empathetic. Put yourself in their shoes. And then sometimes we have a problem with this too, is weep with those who weep. And sometimes we can just look at somebody and say, poor thing, right? But we need to understand that. We need to weep with them, because one of these days we're going to need somebody to weep with us, somebody to take care of us, somebody to hold us. So weep with those who weep. Be empathetic. And put others first. And that's part of empathy, right? Put others first. Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. And one thing that we have to be careful of is that sometimes it's selfish ambitions and it's conceit that controls us that we don't let go of. But Paul tells him to let go of those things. In loneliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. There was a saying and a quote that some of you may remember is, you know, I'm third. I don't know if you've ever heard that one, but I'm third. God's first, others are second, and I'm third. It goes about getting priorities right. It goes to loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. First, second, us third. So let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Look at our motives. Why are we doing it? And then let us strive to esteem others better than ourselves. And those who are against you, those who are against me, we need to show love. We need to do good to them. We need to bless and pray. Jesus said, look, love your enemies. It's a difficult thing to do without him and the Holy Spirit helping us. It's a difficult thing to do. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Wait a minute. This is too much, Lord. Do good to those who hate me. And bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. So this upcoming year, maybe we didn't do a good job in 2024, but that's a lot to work on. That's a lot to work on for us. And be aware of your surroundings. It's okay we're here, but when we head out into the world, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, look, see that you walk circumspectly. Is that we need to be aware of what's around us. Because he goes on to say, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Or once again, we need to redeem our time, because the days are evil, and especially the days in which we live, and it seems like it just gets more and more evil every single day. But then he goes on, he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We can't understand the will of the Lord if we never look at his word, we never listen to his word, we don't come to Bible study, we don't attend other. We just kind of live in our own little world, but we need to understand what the will of God is. And one of the things that we need to think about this year is to be careful how you repay. How do I repay somebody? Paul, writing to the Romans again, he says, look, repay no evil for evil. Somebody does evil to you, it's not like, I don't get mad, I get even. We need to take that out of our vocabulary. But repay no one evil for evil. And have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Appreciate those things that are good. But when it comes to evil, don't repay others. And be consistent and persistent in prayer. Be prayer-sistent. It should be part of our life, prayer, and it's a privilege that the world doesn't have. Paul writes in the Thessalonians, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice, give thanks, but pray without ceasing. And you go back and you look and you think about Luke, the 18th chapter, when Jesus was speaking to them, beginning in verse 1, he says, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And then he goes on to this parable about this persistent widow, and as she keeps going to this judge, and he's an unrighteous judge, and he says, I gotta do something before this woman just drives me crazy, right? Then verse 6, he says, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And God shall not avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears with them long. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then he makes this statement, and I've said this before, it is a scary statement when he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Remember how he started this parable when he says that men always ought to pray and lose heart. But by the time we get down to verse 8, he's saying, when I come back, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Or will he find a whole bunch of people that gave up? We talked about that this morning in our Bible class. You know, is that we just need to keep on keeping on. Learn patience and establish your heart. James says, look, you also be patient. And that's one thing that I need to work on this year is being patient. Being patient with myself, being patient with others, my family, those that don't agree with me. But he says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And none of us know when we leave this place if we'll make it home. Maybe that's when we will find that our time ends. And if you're waiting on God, do what Christ did. Serve. There's always things that you can do and I can do to serve God, to serve others. I've had this thing over in Paul, and Fred's put it in the bulletin that's been on the overhead, and we've talked, you know, and asked people to help with the communion service and with cleaning the building. Well, the good thing is that the communion is only, at least when I last looked at it, was only 1 month that was vacant. But there's a whole bunch of slots where you and I can serve, where we can do a better job. When you come in on the Lord's Day, and when you come in on Bible study Wednesday nights or whatever, a gospel meeting that we have or singing, the building just doesn't clean itself. It takes the effort of those who are willing to serve in that capacity. Not a lot of glory, but it needs to be done. Mark wrote, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. If anybody needed to be served, it would have been Jesus. But he says, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And that's what we need to do, is we need to be better servants and to give his life a ransom for many. So don't be the one talent servant. We've talked about it before, that they had the five talent, the two talent, and the one talent servant. And the five talent and the two talent servants went out and did what they were supposed to do, and they doubled what they had. But then when you found the one talent one, and some of us are one talent people, we may not have a lot of ability, but we can't be like the one talent man, where he went and hid his talent in the ground because he feared the Lord, his master. And when his master came back, he ran and gave it, and he says, here is your talent back. And he looked at him, he says, you could have given it. You could have given it to the bankers and had some kind of money to give to me. But he says, but I was afraid. So I hid it. And here it is. This is what you gave me. And we find out that the master told them to take the one talent servant out. And we find that God's word said that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let us don't be the one talent man or the one talent servant in 2025. So as we enter 2025, I just want to leave you with these thoughts. Is let us use our time to what? To build our faith in Him. We can always build our faith. The more faith that we have, the more willing that we'll be able to do other things. And what we'll be able to accomplish those things that we've just talked about this morning. And that we prove our love to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. God loved us. And we need to show how much we love Him. And to strengthen our spiritual resolve, that we have the fortitude to be able to do those things which are right in His sight, that we have the spiritual resolve. And we're all running a race. And the point is, and I hope that you and I are here to try to finish that race. And if we do these things, building our faith, proving our love to Him, and strengthen our spiritual right, we'll finish that race. You and I can do it together. So as we come this morning, I'd like you to just think, is that if we can be of any of assistance to you in whatever way that you may need assistance, maybe it doesn't have to be here in a public way, but maybe you need to find somebody to help you run your race, to help you write those resolutions that will make you a better child of God in 2025 than you have been in 2024. So if we can be of assistance to you in any way, please come while we stand and sing.